Blog Talk Radio.
Alrighty, well, let's bring on Pastor Leroy
and see how he's doing. And he's getting ready for them Phillies tonight. Hello there, Pastor Leroy.
Pastor Ken, I want to thank you very much, man. You did me a big favor. A friend of mine said that he texted you on Discord and said, you know, that I won't be able to make the show if it's 9 o'clock, man, because you know me. I'm getting ready to watch my Phillies, man, in the World Series. If they win tonight, man, we go up 2-0 on the Astros, and the next three games are in Philly, man. Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I have a few questions, man. Are you an Astros fan? You're from Texas, right?
Well, I'm not really an Astros fan, but I'm behind them this year because you know they are in the World Series and they made it that far, okay. And so I'm behind them, okay. I don't follow them, okay, but I am behind them because they are from Texas, yes.
But, you know, the Astros are a great team, and they're probably going to kick our ass tonight. I don't think we're going to win 2 down there, but you never know. But anyway, this ain't a baseball show, man. I want to say thank you very much for changing the time so I could at least come on for an hour tonight with you.
Amen, amen, amen. All right.
And how?
Well, Pastor View, I believe we went to a Halloween party tonight, and I think Pastor Bill, I went to a Halloween party. That's all I know.
Pastor Ken.
He's no longer with us. He decided to quit, I guess.
Well, see, I don't understand that, man. I was on his show last night for 90 minutes, and it was actually a very good show. I was hoping you would show up, but you didn't. But that's cool. You know, I don't know what's going on here, man. I thought everything was cool, and then all of a sudden he just decides not to do your show no more. Doesn't make any sense, man.
Yeah, I know. I don't know what's going on with Pastor Karen, so I don't know. I don't know what he's doing.
Well, I hope things get better between the two of you. I hope they do.
Well, I haven't got no ill will towards them, so, I mean, I understand a fake meat is supposed to be called into a show yesterday.
Who was that? I'm sorry, what'd you say?
A fake meat called in yesterday.
Yeah, well, I don't know, man. I don't know if that was a fake you or not. Now, to me, it sounded like a very pissed off you. And then Pastor Ken says, oh, he's just having a bad day.
No, I didn't call in. I didn't even listen to his show, so.
Yeah, it was a mean Pastor Ken. It was you, but it was a mean you. It was like a zombie you, man, calling in and going, hey, yeah. Ain't going to happen, man. But anyway, look, do you have any callers on, man? I'd love to see if anybody wants to come on and join the panel tonight.
Last time I checked, I didn't have any callers. But let me see. I got a caller, but they didn't press the 1 key. It's just 1111 caller. So I guess 501 just called in, but they didn't press the 1 key.
So nobody's
pressing 1 key.
I don't understand why people call in on 111.
I don't really understand either. 501 just called in, just pressed the 1 key. Let me bring them on. 501, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Internet Friend.
Hey, Internet Friend, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm on a African safari right now. What they say here to greet each other is Chiamora, or is it, they put a little more emphasis like Chiamora, so it sounds almost like, yeah, it almost sounds Jewish. And then sometimes they'll do this at you. So, yeah, it's kind of strange here. But I got our safari leader, Mumbaki, here. He's been showing us around and showing us some pretty cool stuff. Saw some lions.
Okay.
Around about South Africa. I don't even know the names of these places. They just click at me, and I just nod my head yes.
Oh, okay. South Africa. Okay.
What part of Africa did you go to again? Didn't you start a ministry in Africa?
I was based out of Uganda for a while.
Uganda, okay. That sounds familiar. So anyway, do you have any more callers, or do you have like a message or something?
No, nobody calling in except for you and Pastor Lua. We have another 111 caller, but he hasn't pressed the 1 key yet. Okay, so until he does, I can't bring him on.
Do we have like a topic for the show today?
Well, I do have a sermon I was going to preach. It was called Pass Me Not. So I'm going to get into that. And, it's in my series of Genesis. So I'm going to preach that. So sit back and relax and enjoy the show. Okay, alrighty. Well, here we go. Okay, it's titled Pass Me Not, okay? And this is, like I said, it's from Genesis, and we're talking about chapter 5, verses 1 through 32. The theme of importance of Genesis chapter 5 is through the biblical story. And the first section is going to deal with the generational letter. Section 2 is going to be the gender limitations. Section 3, the godly line. Section 4, the graveyard list. Section 5, the germane links. Section 6, the glorious leave. Section 7, the glaring longevity. And section 8, the gracious lesson. And lastly, section 9, the go-between link. So be careful on what we look at. Okay, a shepherd boy was tending a few sheep on the side of a mountain. One day, while wandering in the wilderness, he came to a huge cave. There was a door to the cave, and it was closed. And he was looking around and noticed a very beautiful flower. So the boy knelt down and pulled out the flower in his hands and was admiring it, but suddenly there was a loud noise. He looked up and saw the doors to the cave opening right before his eyes. There were bright lights that shined from the inside of the mountain. With the flower in his hands, the shepherd boy rushed inside, and his eyes widened because he saw piles of sparkling gold, diamonds, precious stones, and jewelry. He began to gather them in his arms, and finally, with all that his arms could carry, the boy turned and started to leave the cave. Suddenly, a voice said to him, "Don't forget the best." Thinking that perhaps he had overlooked some choice piece of treasure, the boy turned around and quickly picked up additional pieces of priceless treasure. As in his arms literally overflowed with the treasure, he began to run out of the mountain cave. Again, the boy said, "Don't forget the best." When the boy's arms were filled and he hurried outside, all of a sudden there was a loud noise. The boy looked around and saw the mountain cave closing its doors. A third time, the shepherd boy heard the voice, and it said, "You forgot the best." for the beautiful flower is the key to the vault of the mountain. So the first thought for the most part was to skim over all the begots and he died in this chapter, but that is a great mistake. If we miss the meaning of this chapter, we will have missed the great link between Adam and Noah. The generations of Adam are very important because they take us from the very first day of life upon this earth to the doorstep of life before the flood hits. The genealogies are great importance to understanding the Bible. And in our study today, we will glean some wonderful insights about 10 men who were guided away from Adam to Seth, and eventually to Noah. You may say, why is this so significant? Because Noah will be linked to Abraham and to David, and eventually all the way down to Jesus Christ. That is why these genealogies are of such grave importance. So do not pass this chapter up and ignore it. The generational letter, okay, is in Genesis chapter 5, verse 1. This is the book of generations of Adam in the day that God created man in the likeness of God, made he him. The book of Genesis can easily be divided into 10 distinct divisions, and they are defined by various genealogies of the book. And we are now nearing the end of generation of Adam with 8 more generations left in the book. And Genesis chapter 1, verse 2 to 6, okay, the book of generation of heaven and earth. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, okay, and chapter 6, verse 8, the book of generation of Adam. Okay, from Genesis chapter 6, verse 9 to Genesis chapter 9, verse 29, the generations of Noah. And Genesis 10, verse 1 to Genesis 11, verse 9, generations of sons of Noah. And Genesis chapter 11, verse 10 to 26, the generations of Shem. And Genesis chapter 11, verse 27, okay, and chapter 25, verse 11, the generation of Terah. And Genesis 25, verses 12 through 18, the generation of Ishmael. And Genesis chapter 25, verses 19 to 35, chapter 35 and 29, generations of Isaac. And then Genesis chapter 36, okay, verse 1, and chapter 37, verse 1, the generation of Esau. Again, Genesis chapter 37, verse 2, Genesis chapter 50, verse 26, the generations of Jacob. So the book of Genesis has 10 chapters with 10 key players, heaven and earth, Adam, Noah, sons of Noah, Shem, Terah, Ishmael, Isaac, Esau, and Jacob. Through these 10 players, we know the entire beginning of the world, and they allow us to trace back man's history from now to the other side of the flood. In Genesis chapter 5, verse 2, male and female created be them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. This chapter will take us from 001 all the way to 1556, the creation of Adam and the birth of the sons of Noah. And this verse we are going to go all the way back to day number 6 of creation, the beginning of mankind. In Genesis chapter 5, verse 1, this is the book of generation of Adam, and the day that God created man, the likeness of God made him. So once again, we find the writer attributing God as the creator and the crafter of man. We did not evolve through some sort of evolutionary event. We were fearfully and wonderfully made. The Bible makes it clear that God made man in his very own likeness with a soul and consciousness and with a free will. So the blessing of mankind. In chapter 5, verse 2, male and female created be them and blessed them and called the name Adam in the day where they were created. So God calls them Adam because on the day of each creation, those two became one, and the Lord blessed their marital union, which was the first of three unions that were near and dear to the heart of God. The three institutions are the family, the nations of Israel, and the church. Let's look at the gender limitations. In Genesis chapter 5, verse 2, male and female created by them, blessed the man called their name Adam in the day they were created. So the world has now been in existence for over 6,000 years, and gender has never been questioned until this generation. There has never been a time in human history when mankind did not know the difference between male and female. There has never been a time when man thought that they could redefine the marital boundaries. God bless the marriage of one man and one woman, while he was also clearly created two distinctly diverse genders, that of a male, that of a female. He did not allow for any other options. When you start tinkering with the instruction manual of creation, then you're going to bring destruction and damnation upon yourself. The Bible makes it very clear as to how the world began. Okay, who is to be married and the exact genders that are involved. God made one man and one woman for that man, and in doing so, he declared that it was good and none of us can do any better. Section 3, the godly lines. The names of 10 generations transmitted, giving a starting revelation to them. We read the faith of the pious generations before the flood and for what they waited. Adam, man, Seth, Set. Enos, frailty. Canaan, deplorable. Malahino, blessed of God. Jared, descends. Enoch, teaching. Methuselah, death sent away. Lamech, powerful. Noah, rest and comfort. The following list will aid in giving correct idea of time and the patriarchs before the flood. Adam created 001, died 930, age 930. Seth born 130, died 1042, age 912. Enoch born year 235, died 1140, age 905. Canaan born 325, died 1235, age 910. Will born 395, died in 1290, age 895. Jared born year 460, died 1422, age 962. Enoch born 622, taken 97, age 365. Methuselah born 687. Died in 1656, age 969. Lamech born 874, died 1651, age 777. So Noah born 1056 and died 2006, age 950. The last four links, Adam and Seth, have extraordinary lives. Enoch lived 365 years and was translated and taken from this earth. Methuselah lived for 969 years and died in the year of the flood. Lamech, the father of Noah, lived only 770 years and died 5 years before the flood. Noah lived to be 950 years old and was the link to both sides of the flood. Section 4, the graveyard list. See, if you skim over the chapter, you might assume there's an innumerable list of names of people that died. But in reality, there's a listing of 10 names. The names of 10 men that are from the godly line of Adam and Seth. Some of these men lived for over 900 years, while some were much younger, and now all of them died. That is shocking, but it is true. In Genesis chapter 5, verse 5, and all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. In Genesis chapter 5, verse 8, and all the days of Seth were 912 years, and then he died. And in Genesis chapter 5, verse 11, all the days of Enos were 905 years, and then he died. In Genesis chapter 5, verse 14, and all the days of Canaan were 910 years, and then he died. In Genesis chapter 5, verse 17, all the days of Malaleel were 895 years, and then he died. In Genesis chapter 5, verse 20, all the days of Gerard were 162 years, and then he died. In Genesis chapter 5, verse 24, okay, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. In Genesis chapter 5, verse 27, okay, all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and then he died. In Genesis chapter 5, verse 31, all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and then he died. In Genesis chapter 5, verse 32, and Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begot Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The chapter shows us that God's judgment upon sin was made loud and clear. Though man lived for exceedingly long period of time, each man died. That is with the exception of Enoch, whom I believe will come back and die later in the book of Revelation. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou shalt eat it, thou shalt surely die. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22, for as Adam and all will die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Let's look at section 5 of the germane links. In Genesis chapter 5, verse 9, and Enos lived 90 years. In Genesis chapter 5, verse 12, and Canaan lived 70 years. In Genesis chapter 5, verse 15, and Melita lived 65 years. In Genesis 5:18, Jared lived 962 years. In Genesis chapter 5, verse 28, and Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son. God uses nobody. Most of all of them heard of Adam, Seth, Enoch, Methuselah, or Noah. Well, what do we not know about men like Enos, Cain, and Melito, and Jared? In this genealogy, we have five famous men, but we have five unknown men. Yet they're just germane to this text as other famous five. We hardly know anything about these five men, but God knew, and he thought enough of them to list them in the genealogy of Adam. These men are vital links from the days of Adam and from the days of Noah. The Lord lists the names of 10 men in the genealogy, and each one proves to be godly and useful to the divine plan. God doesn't take the majority of his workers from the ranks of his wise and mighty or noble. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26, for ye see your calling, brethren, how that many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. So Paul says to get his job done, God uses things which are foolish, things which are weak, things which are base, things which are despised, the foolish. God is able to work through non-intellectual things in this world. D.L. Moody was an uneducated, uncultured man with no educational advantages, yet he established the Moody Press, the Moody Bible Institute, the Moody radio stations, and the list goes on. He is an example that God's power is not resident in our wisdom. God uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. The weak, the weary, the feeble, the powerless. Sometimes we feel physically and spiritually weak. We are tempted to take a time out, thinking that God will use us again when we are stronger. In Judges chapter 6, we're introduced to Gideon, who was taking a time out. It was wartime, and Gideon was hiding when an angel of the Lord appeared to him that he would be one to save Israel. Imagine Gideon's astonishment. How can I save Israel? Lord, I come from a nobody family. I'm the lowest nobody in my family, and you're going to use me? After God enlisted nobody Gideon, he got a nobody army. And God took those nobodies and won the battle. God takes us in our weak state and uses us. He alone can be glorified. Let's look at the base. Of the four women in Christ's genealogy, one played the harlot, Tamar. Another was a Gentile, Ruth. Another adulterer, the wife of Uriah. Again, the fourth a harlot named Rahab. The living proof that God can and will use anyone regardless of their past actions, class, or occupation. So why does God delight in using nobodies as his nobility? The first reason is found in 1 Corinthians verse 1, okay, through 29, that no flesh is glorified in his presence. So when we get to heaven, not one of us will be able to say that we got there on our own merit. We were saved simply by the grace of God. The second reason is found in verse 31. He who glorifies, let him glorify the Lord. So if we operate in our own strength and not God's, we risk taking the glory and credit for ourselves. So Scripture tells us that we must be weak and low enough in order for God to use us. Adrian Rogers told a story about a woodpecker pecking on a tree. In the middle of his pecking, a bolt of lightning hit the tree, splitting it right down the middle. The woodpecker backed off, surveyed the situation, and flew away. Later in the day, he returned with nine other woodpeckers. Finally, he said, "There's a gentleman right there." What? That's what I did. So when we do that as men and women, God shuts off the lightning. When you try to take credit for what God is doing, God shuts off the lightning, and you are left with what you can do alone. So God wants us to take down the very depths of ourselves to teach us that if there's any power, it is the power that is in God and not in us. God doesn't need to make us into performers or superstars in order to use us. Instead, he's looking for men and women who have hearts that say, "Lord, I'm a nobody. I'm nothing without you. Will you use me?" When God finds such a heart, something extraordinary happens, and nobody is promoted to the ranks of God's ability. In section 6, the glorious leave. Okay, in Genesis chapter 5, verse 21, and Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. And in Genesis chapter 5, verse 22, and then Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters. In Genesis chapter 5, verse 23, all the days of Enoch were 365 years. In Genesis chapter 5, verse 24, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. The early life of Enoch, the age of 65, was one of the youngest ages of these listed men to be father and children. All we know is that Enoch lived his life with no fanfare for a full 65 years, and then something odd occurred. The expressed loyalty of Enoch. It seems that the birth of his first son changed his life, and from that day forward, Enoch walked with God. He was the first man in the Bible to have walked with God. The other man that walked with God was his great-grandson, Noah. There are only two men who have the title of walking with God, and I think Enoch will come back to die in the Great Tribulation. The enchanting leave of Enoch. The flood is coming soon, and the Lord took Enoch out of this world before it hit. This is a symbol and portrait of the rapture, which will acquire before the greatest period of judgment this earth has ever witnessed, other than the flood, which God destroyed the entire world except 8 people. In section 7, the glaring longevity. In Genesis chapter 5, verse 25, and Methuselah lived 187 years and begot Lamech. In Genesis chapter 5, verse 26, and Methuselah lived after he begot Lamech 782 years and begot sons and daughters. In Genesis chapter 5, verse 27, all of the days of Methuselah were 969 years and he died. Methuselah and his famous record. Methuselah has a record of being the longest living person in the history of mankind. There have been many others in his day that live longer, but this is the oldest record that we have on hand. Methuselah and his fuzzy record. There was something very odd about the biblical count of Methuselah. He outlived every person in the history of the world. In reality, he lived for 969 years, and that's all that we know about his life. He lived for 969 years, and we do not know if he did badly or did well. That's a long time to live. And the only legacy of his life is his age. We have nothing more. Isn't that a bit odd? Let's look at section 8, the gracious lesson. In Genesis chapter 5, verse 28, and Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son. In Genesis chapter 5, verse 29, and he called his name Noah, saying, "This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed." In Genesis chapter 5, verse 30, and Lamech lived after he begat Noah 595 years and begat sons and daughters. In Genesis chapter 5, verse 31, and all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and then he died. So we're now down to number 9 on the list of the generation of Adam, and we have the second father to give a special name to his son. Enoch gave his son the name of Methuselah, which many think it means when he's gone, judgment. Lamech is the father of the last man on the list. For some reason, he deems his son will bring the rest of the land and the people. Lamech is the one unknown hero among the last men. There's no awareness. The same shall comfort us. This is an allusion of some to the name of Noah, which they derive from. Not chemical getting comfort, but it's more likely to come from. Knock or knock through the cell, etc., which is more comfortable than the rest after toil and labor. These words seem to have been spoken prophetically concerning Noah, but built the ark for preservation of the human race. And he who seems to have a physical, typical person from which he has offered sacrifice after the drying up of the waters, it said that God smiled, a savior of rest, and he would not curse the ground anymore for man's sake. In Genesis chapter 8, verse 21, and from that time, the earth seemed to have had upon an average the same degree of fertility, and the life of man in the future age after was seldom in the mean than 70 years and 10. The comfort that comes into the world with children, these words of Lamech are a permanent inscription of the horoscope, which parents everywhere and always see the creed of the latest born. As a bright prophecy of God concerning the future of an invincible hopefulness of a fertile heart. The security we have for this great fact of our redemption, or Noah has been born, the rest giver, strong burden bearer of all pitying and suffering, Savior, Noah was a preacher of righteousness, but Jesus Christ brings and gives righteousness, instilling it in every believing heart. Noah was a preserver of the world, his own family from temporary flood. Jesus Christ makes this world itself the ark, which he commands, steering it through the straight and wide area of space. Amen. Okay, well, I hope you liked this little study we did today. Okay, if you're out there and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior, you will get a chance to, in just a moment, to accept Him to be your Savior. See, are you tired of wandering around this world and not knowing which way to go, which way up or down? If so, just ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your life. And you can do so by saying this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, for too long, I have kept you out of my life. I know that I'm a sinner, and that I cannot save myself. No longer will I close the door when I hear you knocking upon it. By faith, I gratefully receive your gift of salvation. I am so ready to trust you as my Lord and Savior. So I want to say thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth. I believe you are the Son of God, who died on the cross for my sins, and rose from the dead on the third day. So once again, I want to say thank you for bearing my sins and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. I believe your words are true. So please come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Savior tonight. And we pray this in the mighty, precious name of Jesus Christ. Well, if you said this prayer, okay, we would like to welcome you to the family of God. We'd like to say that He will bless you and keep you highly favored. All righty, well, let's play some music here. Here we go.
10 minutes of game time. I can tell you this right now. If the Phillies do manage to pull this out tonight by a miracle, I don't think this is going to go back to Houston, man. I think we're going to win the World Series right here in Philadelphia, man, my hometown. Even though I am Bronx, but I was born in Philadelphia, moved to Harlem, went to the Bronx. I was on Staten Island. I was all over the place, man.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Well, like you said, I wish the Phillies luck on the game tonight, even though I am going for the Astros, okay? I've got to say I got to go for the Astros, okay? I wish everybody the best of luck on the game tonight.
Well, I appreciate that. You got any callers? You got anybody calling in tonight?
No. I'm going to probably end the show early so everybody can get ready for the game and get themselves settled, get their knees on, whatever they're going to get ready to do. And then I'll probably do a show tomorrow night. I understand that Tony Talk is going to be doing a show, a Halloween show tomorrow. Okay, so I guess I will too.
Well, that's great. Good. I'll be available for if you do Tony's show, or are you going to do your own show? You're going to do your own show tomorrow, right?
Yeah, I'm going to do my own show tomorrow. Tomorrow evening. I'll probably do it at the same time I did this one. Because Tony's probably going to come on at 9 o'clock Eastern.
9 o'clock Eastern tomorrow. Yeah, Tony Talk. And let me say this too, man. Are you going to go on Tony's show after you've done your show?
Yeah, I'm going to try to call in and see if he picks me up.
Good. I'd like to see things get a little, maybe you guys can start getting a little closer, man.
Yeah, hopefully he'll pick me up and we can talk on Tony Talk Show tomorrow night. That'd be great.
That sounds good. I wish you the best, Pastor Ken, and I will talk to you tomorrow. I'm going to say go Phillies. I know you're going to say go Astros, which is cool. You're from Texas.
Go Astros. All right.
Let's see what happens.
We'll see what happens. All right. God bless, Pastor Leroy.
You too, buddy.
Have a good night. God bless everybody. I'm going to give a shout-out to Juan from Alabama. Okay, God bless you.